1480 KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Neil is reeling and screeching and the drag is dragging. But we're live, and we're going to go really live on the water here today. We're working still on a cell phone reception here out on Lake Oahe with Chad Schilling. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, then you'll get my live report and some of the things that we've been hearing from around the area. League Fishing, Glacial Lakes Walleye League, completed their regular season qualifiers this past week and come out on top. The top 15 point people for the week get to fish a championship here on Bitter Lake in August. So a lot of good things going on with the Walleye League, a lot of good fun, a lot of good fishermen. And the team that came up on top is the team that we interviewed last fall, and that was the team of Beekler, Rummel, and Spies, top team here in the Glacial Lakes Walleye League for qualifying for the championship. So a lot of good fishing, a lot of good people, and a lot of good fun being had. And we picked one of the best nights for weather we'd had all year up on Wabay Lake, and a lot of fish were caught. So now after those that information, I think we have Chad Schilling ready to go here live on from Lake Oahe this morning, out in the world of and around Akaska, South Dakota. Good morning, Chad.
Chad's not here this morning. Chad's out on the river fishing and pre-fishing and doesn't have telephone out there.
Well, no problem. No problem. Who's our backup here to give us a little report from Lake Oahe and the South Dakota Walleye Classic?
Well, this is Dick Sorensen in Akaska.
Oh, my word. I think this ranks right up there with as good as anyone that we could use for backup in the world of walleye fishing and in the world of what's going to be happening in Akaska here over the next few days. Good morning,
well,
Dick.
I'll tell you, this afternoon at 4 o'clock, they got to be off the water, and our rules meeting is tonight. Starts at 6:00, and then tomorrow morning we launch the boats at 8:00. There's going to be two launches. We're going to break it off, and 8:00, we'll have the first group go out, and then at 8:15, we'll have the second group go out. We've got 60 boats, and they come in at 4:00 and 4:15, and we're going to be downtown here in the community center, weighing them in at 4:00, and so the activities begin here in town in the Casca at the community hall at 4:00.
Well, you know, Dick, it's part of the celebration is the walleye fishing, and you know everyone around the country is kind of has their eyes on this, and so we're going to get back to that. But there's a lot more going on in Akaska, South Dakota this weekend, isn't there?
Oh yes, we've got Arts in the Park, which is Friday and Saturday, Friday afternoon, well, all day Friday and Saturday. I think there's like 15 or 20 people that have signed up and going to bring in their displays, and we'll have that here in town. We're going to have the Aberdeen Model Airplane Flying Club here. They're going to be demonstrating their model airplanes, and just a lot of things going on for kids, games, activities. We're having a street dance Friday night, another dance on Saturday night. We've got the Root Band Friday night, and we've got the Thrillbillies on Saturday night.
Who do you have on Friday night?
The Root Band. R-U-D-E, Rude.
Oh, the Rudes. The Root Band. Is that the Rudes from Clear Lake, South Dakota, and Brant, South Dakota?
Yeah, they're from out of Sioux Falls in that area. Yeah,
okay.
I think so, sure.
Okay, all right. You know, there's Rudes from all over South Dakota, and if you know one, you know them all, right?
Right, there's some in Redfield even.
Even, you know, it's kind of like a Sorensen. Yeah, you know, if you know one Sorensen, you know them all.
Yeah, all over the country. We did a good job of populating this part of the country.
Yeah, those Norwegians got around, didn't they, Dick? All right, we got off subject there. Sorry, that happens to us once in a while on this radio program.
The fishing's been good out here, Lynn. They're here today, gone tomorrow. So the pre-fishing is good to bad, and so they're going to have three or four backup places to go on Friday and Saturday. Like I said, Friday they're going out in the order they signed up, and then Saturday we're sending them out in the order they finish on the Friday first day of fishing.
Ah, so they earn their way on Saturday. I like that. That's an interesting and that's a good rule. I like that rule.
Yeah.
You talked about the fishing, Mr. Sorensen. We keep hearing, the same thing. I mean, the fishing's good, but you better be good to stay in tune with what's going on there with the day one good day, one day bad. What are your thoughts? I think you've been on the water and you've been listening to a lot of people. What are your thoughts on why this is happening?
Well, it's that time of the year when the water starts heating up, temperature rises. We had 104 degrees here yesterday. It's supposed to be about the same today. And that brings our water temperature up to 75, 80 degrees. And so those fish that typically will start going deeper for cooler water. And then our bait fish here, we have some surface bait fish, gizzard shad. And, walleyes have become very adaptable. We never... Years ago, I never thought that, but they also stay here in shallow waters chasing the gizzard shad for food, but then also they're following the smelt, which are the deep cold water fish, and they're going deep getting them. So today they'll be there in the shallows with the gizzard shad, and of course they all got tails and they fish and they swim. And so they're here today, gone tomorrow. But with some pre-fishing and three or four good places to back you up, they should do really, really well.
So with those two types of forage, if we really look at that, those two types of forage, they are movers and shakers, and that gizzard shad may be in that 5 to 10 feet of water or less one day, but
yes.
It seems like they move to the other side of the lake. They're kind of a crazy thing to follow, and if they're gone, Mr. Walleye is gone too.
Yes, exactly.
And then
some days the guys are catching 3 to 4 foot of water, and the next day guys are catching 30 to 40 foot of water.
Yeah, and then I'm hearing some 40 to 50 feet of water, which tells me there's enough, like you said. Smelt.
Smelt.
So yep. That's the fish that have adapted to chasing smelt. Those crazy buggers like to go down to that 30, 40, 50 feet. Any reports of anyone seeing lake herring in the bellies of those fish?
Well, we haven't lately. Earlier in last month, we got some reports of some lake herring being in the bellies when they cleaned them, but I haven't heard anything lately.
Wonder where those buggers went. Did they head south towards?
I'm thinking they're cold water and they like that, so they're gonna go south more down towards the pier area for the colder water.
Yeah, and what was interesting in the days for this tournament when this was in its infancy, a lot of boats would take off and make a 50, 60, 80-mile run down there, but that bite's been about as tough and unpredictable as anything, too, because those fish are so full of food.
Yes, yes, it is. And now, this year we've got the boundaries at Dodge Draw, and then that's the south boundary, and the north boundary is the north part of Blue Blanket Flats.
Oh, that's excellent.
So they've got about 14 miles of river and about 14 miles of the Morrow River. So there's a 28, 30 miles of river for them to find fish.
Well, that really, that's an awesome idea because I have a friend that headed out there with his 17-foot boat. I mean, you can cover a lot of territory, and these guys think they have a chance because they're not dealing with 21-foot boats with 350-horsepower engines on. They're running 80, 90 miles to find fish, and competing against that, these guys think they actually have a chance. So that's another good rule, and I believe that's why there's 60 boats, and you got a full field this year.
We got a full field this year. Yes, we do. And then also, you know, Lynn, we're part of the Northern Oahe Championship Series, which is five different tournaments. I think the Governor's Cup, the Pollock Men's Club, the Denny Palmer Club, the Whitlock tournament, and then our tournament, and then the top 20 out of those five tournaments are eligible for the championship held in Mobridge August 20th.
Oh, that's right. I did hear about that. They started, Pollock was in that. So the Governor's Cup was one of those. That's a neat new concept.
Yes, and Don Canold of in Mobridge is keeping track of the points that they earn. They earn 200 points if they finish first in one of those tournaments, and so the points leaders at the top 20 of each tournament are going to be invited to that championship, and I think it's about a $25,000 payout for first place on that. So our payout for the first place is going to be $5,400.
Oh, that's great. That's what's keeping the interest in this, and that's why people are excited to come out and see you again. Not only to see the wonderful people, and I'm telling you, Akaska puts on, and they've got a lot of people that put a lot of time and energy into this celebration, and they always have, and they're dedicated, and they all get in a room, and they have it out, and this is the way it's going to be, and then all of a sudden the thing just goes off like you wouldn't believe. Isn't that right, Dick?
Yes, it does. Huh? Yes, that's right. And my wife, Jane Sorensen, plays a big part in that.
Yeah, you get a bunch of strong-minded, strong-willed, hardcore people all in one room, and you wrestle it out, and then you see what comes out in the end, and it's awesome.
It's an awesome tournament, an awesome time. Yeah, it's good. And we have we have a lot of fun starting tonight with the rules meeting, and then the next 2 days is the walleye tournament. We've got Arts in the Park. We've got kids' games. We've got dances. We've got band music. Weigh-ins. It's going to be awesome two or three days.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dick, for the rundown. Was the rumor wrong then? Is Johnny Holm not going to be there this year?
Johnny Holm will not be here this year. We had him here for the Marianne Cow Foundation earlier this year, and so this year we've got the Rude Band out of the Sioux Falls area, and then the other band is the Thrillbillies.
Are they going to kick up their heels a little bit? Is there going to be some country music being played out there?
There's going to be country music played, and it's going to be a street dance.
Uh-oh.
And we're going to have a fear tent set up outside, and it's going to be hot, so we're going to have the coldest beer in the country right here.
They're going to be drinking a lot of beer, and they're going to be some good entertainment, because usually about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning on all these street dances, you know what happens.
Yeah.
Someone pinched someone else's girlfriend's butt, and let's get it on. Let's have a little battle on Main Street. That's what I'd like to come out and watch.
Yeah, Sheriff Josh Ball has assured us he will be here with his deputies. So whatever they want to do, they can do.
they still have a sheriff out there?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. Let me see. Is this a catch? Are they bringing the fish in? That's right. In South Dakota,
yes.
After June 1st, you can't have a catch and release tournament, can you?
Right. They're bringing the fish in, and the Hoven Fireman's Club is going to be getting the fish one day, and the Hiddenwood Sportsman's Club from Selby is getting it another day.
Okay.
And then they hold fundraising fish fries in the winter months with them fish.
That's awesome, and they can raise a lot of money with a fish fry, especially when it's good Lake Oahe clean white fillets from them walleyes. People will come from a long ways, and they'll donate a good chunk of money to these, and that's excellent. It's a good something to
Absolutely.
Do with the resource, because Lord knows we have plenty walleyes in Lake Oahe right now. It's not going to hurt much to take a few out.
No, we're going to take a few, maybe some hundreds out. but there's millions out there, so
yeah,
we're not
fantastic. Sounds like the fishing's been great in that Akaska area. If there's anyone that has been, you know, been kind of contemplating over the last few years and kind of wondering how the fishery is, it's very good and healthy. The forage base is back, and go out and visit the fine people in the Akaska, South Dakota area. All right, Dick, any parting shots?
Well, Lynn, I'd just like to say that the Akaska Bait Shop is open. It's under new management and ownership, and they're doing a wonderful job. There's gas, there's bait, there's tackle, great food, and, of course, cold beer. So come to Akaska July 21st to the 24th.
All right. Thanks a ton. Appreciate you filling in for Chad. I knew he'd be busy on the water, and reception was going to be a challenge. So we'll get him on another week. Thank you, Dick.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Lynn.
You bet. Take care. All right. We went out to Akaska. We didn't quite, you know, reception on Lake Oahe has always been challenging. It's getting better, but we are sure fortunate to have Dick Sorensen on the air with us this morning to give us a little update. Dick is on the water a ton out there. He and Jane are heavily involved in the celebration and the organization, and takes a lot of work. I mean, these people, by the time they're done at night, are ready to hit the rack for about 4 hours, and they get up and they start all over again. So we've just had a blast out there over the years, and a lot of really, really good people and a lot of really good fun that they have out there.
Now, when he was talking the temperature 104, that gets pretty tough for just being on the water, wouldn't it?
It's a dry 104.
Oh,
it's a dry.
They call it a dry heat, huh?
Actually, I saw Daryl Peters had a little video on Facebook yesterday. He's fishing this tournament. He has two daughters. I believe they're 10 because they're the same age as my oldest. Is the only reason I remember. And they were jumping. They were jumping up on his 300 horse Mercury and diving off that baby yesterday. Oh. So that's how you keep cool.
Yeah. That's jump in the water.
Yeah, but on the other side, and Daryl's been a guest of ours on here before, and most know that, you know, Daryl can't get out because he's in a wheelchair in his boat. And, you know, you just look at a guy like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at the challenges. You know, really? Is 104 really that bad?
No.
You know?
Just the opportunity to be out on the lake.
Absolutely. And just watching those young ladies dive off that boat and staying cool. But, you know, on days like this, you almost, or, you know, like there was yesterday, today.
It'd be probably today, yeah.
Even walking around in the boat, you can't walk in bare feet because the floor is so hot. The carpet gets so hot.
Yeah.
Man, it really, I mean, you just kind of have to adapt a little bit. But, you know, if our grandfathers and our forefounders can go out and make hay on days like today and go out on them open air combines, I still remember that John Deere 96 John Deere 95 combine, and they're combining oats and wheat this time of the year. Their arms are full of chaff. It's falling down their back. Yeah. They got their straw hat on. You know, if they could handle that, I think we could handle fishing in this weather.
Yeah. But we've gotten kind of babied over the years.
Oh, man. Has the human race really, really gotten easy on themselves, haven't they?
Yes.
And you know what? No problem. I'm not, you know, it's take advantage of the technology, take advantage of the stuff. But really, yeah, and these guys are probably pre-fishing from 6 a.m. to noon instead of battling a lot of that afternoon stuff. But I believe, and there's a lot of fish in the area, it's going to be interesting to see. The bite has been very, very challenging. And it will separate the good. But you know what? I think all 60 participants, I saw a gal from Bismarck, Jen Beekle. I saw she was in it. Good morning, Jen. If you're listening, I think everyone has an opportunity out there. And here's the reason: because what Dick said, these fish are changing. I think the person that gets right out into the middle of Lake Oahe and maybe pulls crankbaits right down the middle of that thing has an opportunity to win this. I think everyone does, just because of the
of what's occurring. These fish are challenging to what we call in the business. They're just very challenging to predict from one day to the other. So I think anybody can do it. And the other reason this has a lot of people watching is that the National Walleye Tour is going to be there on August 4th, 5th, and 6th. And, you know, there's a lot of guys. And I believe, I'm not sure, I would guess they're going to have up close to 100 boats in that. And that's for their national championship. And this is the upper level of walleye fishing in the competitive world. These guys will really be watching this. And that, I think that gives these this just a little bit more of a spotlight this year on who's going to come out ahead, who's going to come out behind, and what did they do, what techniques did they use. You know, this challenging bite is just going to continue over the next couple weeks, and they're going to start traveling out. In fact, a lot of them are in this tournament.
Oh, already?
Yeah, okay. They're in. And I can't remember what the entry fee was on this one. It's $300-$400, but they'd be glad. Mm-hmm. They'd be glad to pay half the entry fee to get a team in, so they can get out there and start. I call, and my friend calls it, I want to figure out the DNA of those fish. I want to understand what they're doing today, tomorrow, and I want to, you know, that's what they're starting to do. So it's really, really going to be interesting how this plays out and how much research these guys that are coming out. And you know what? They're dumping, when these guys coming from the National Walleye Tour event, the Covella Circuit, when they come, I mean, they're starting to dump in with entry fee $4,000 to $5,000 they'll get into this. And, you know, they start paying attention. And these are guys that that can use some of the notoriety for winning and getting a top 10 to show their sponsors that they're a legitimate fisherman, that they're not just talking and yakking and BSing and throwing the wool over people's head.
Oh, you mean you have to actually have results?
You actually have to know how to fish also.
Oh.
I mean, you can yak all you want to, like us, like we're doing
sure,
right now.
Yeah.
But if you can't get out there and get it done, the sponsors go, whose reputation are you dealing with here? Mm-hmm. We don't really want our name on the side of your boat. So, you know, there's a lot of, and really, I mean, they're putting the products that we're going to see over the next few years, they're putting them out for the world to see if they're going to perform or not.
Right.
And that's kind of an interesting thing. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to play devil's advocate. There's guys that use baits from other companies, but they say they use the bait from the company that sponsors them too. So, you know, it's not a perfect world out there in the world of professional
fishing. You mean like
golfers
don't use their, you know, pro golfers aren't using the product that they endorse?
Oh, right. Now, they're under a pretty good spotlight because that camera zooms right in on that Nike ball or that TaylorMade ball or that Titleist ball.
That's right.
And I would hope a guy like Steve Stricker that has American Family on his emblem on the front of, I would hope he's got American Family insurance, but there's no saying that he has to.
That's right. But they pay good money to have that name there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And fishermen are the same. I mean, they work their tails off to use the products that from their sponsors, but I would hope a majority of them are actually being honest.
If you're a fisherman, you got to be honest.
Oh, yeah. You know what? There's a good saying that goes with that. You know, one time, just not too long ago, I said we were using this product to get this top five in Devil's Lake, and he goes, how come you told him we were using Nils Master? Because if you're honest to them, they always think you're lying anyway. You might as well tell them the truth. I suppose that goes with a lot of things, doesn't it, Randy?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so just be honest with them because they don't think you're telling the truth anyway.
There you go.
Besides, Rapla, everybody up there was saying, oh, yeah, I was using jigging wraps. Well, you know, Rapla's a good company, but they don't need my endorsement. I mean, we're fortunate here
not to be endorsed by anyone, and that's kind of neat. So then, you know, that even actually brings a little more honesty out. So
there you go.
You know, the world of fishing. Well, for another week of On the Water, In the Air, sure enjoyed having everyone along with us as we went out to Akaska, South Dakota, to see what's going to be happening this next week and also what's going to be happening in the next couple weeks. So for another week, Randy, we'll send it over to you.
All right, appreciate it. And you are listening to KSDR as we join Fox News Radio.